The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future. And so you told us the future is now.
We
Hello, and welcome to the NXT Cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaurente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Simi. How are you, Miss Simi?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing very well, We are here once again to talk about NXT for this week. Thank you for joining us, everybody who is listening here on the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also find us through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, all of the usual suspects, Spotify as well. All you have to do is search for the WrestleCast dash the CSPN and subscribe to the logo with the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign.
Yes, please do.
So NXT this week starts off rather aggressive because we have Dakota Kai taking on Mercedes Martinez, of course, with new NXT Women's Champion Raquel Gonzalez at ringside. Martinez hits Gonzalez on the outside before setting up Dakota Kai for her finisher. Well, we know that's not going to last because Raquel Gonzalez comes in. She booted Mercedes Martinez in the face, and that resulted in a disqualification.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mercedes and Dakota, they had some chemistry issues for like half this match, and then like the second half of this match, it seemed like they kind of got it together.
It turned up at the end.
Yes.
Dakota
tried to give us a Shotzi Blackheart moment in this match.
Oh my God. Stop, dude. I don't want to put you on the list. You're already kind of on the list because you've been hurt before. Dakota. No. I can't add more people to the list. I can't. Because later on, the new Zeta Rainier, I think that's her name. She did a crazy flip thing that I was just like, bitch, don't you. I just saw you. This is my first time meeting you. I can't put you on the list this early.
After the match, Raquel Gonzalez, she beat the brakes off of Mercedes Martinez, tossing her around the barricades and into the plexiglass at ringside. And then she ends up standing over Mercedes Martinez with Dakota Kai in the end.
The bright side, Dakota didn't lose. So yay for that. She was getting a lot of offense in this match, so I appreciated that as well.
This actually was done very well because your next challenger necessarily didn't lose, but she kind of got some comeuppance for all the trash talk she's been doing. Your champion's friend and cohort didn't lose, but she got a chance to actually show pretty good against the person who her friend is going to go against. And then they made the champion finally look strong in her first meaningful program by having Raquel toss Mercedes Martinez around the entire ringside area. So I thought they did a really good job with all three of these women and keeping them strong and keeping the story, you know, moving forward.
Agreed. Raquel went right back on that heel path. Right back on it. Because she was teetering before. She was just like, side bitch, heel life is cream. Because when she was talking all that shit to Mercedes, it was just like, I'm the boss here. I run this shit. That's what she was saying in Spanish. She was like, I'm the champion.
Oh, that's what she, when she was beating her down. Yeah, she was talking a whole bunch of,
She was basically saying, like, I'm the boss here. Like, I'm the boss. I run this. So, all the shit she was talking, I was like,
Nice.
Spicy. I enjoyed it.
Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, they're getting interviewed saying that they're used to the tricks from the way. They got flowers to delivered to them at about the same time Frankie Monet arrives to introduce herself. She reads the card from the flowers and she says that the flowers are from Dexter Loomis. Ember's like, oh, they can't be for me. I'm married. So they must be for Shotzi. Shotzi's like, nah, girl, they're for you. And so they go back and forth trying to figure out where these, you know, who the flowers are for. Dexter Loomis out here on his Anderson .Paak. One is not enough and two is not too much for me.
I think that it was Johnny and Candace who sent it in order.
They would never do a thing like that.
Yeah, like they would never pay a therapist to tell Austin Theory that Dexter Loomis thinks his midsection is subpar. But it was very. See, this is the thing where I say, don't let Ember talk. Why would you let her? Don't let her talk. Shh. Cause why?
Our man, Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, him.
He's coming. He's going to the jewelry store. Go see Jacob the jeweler. He's like, hey. Trying to look for something like this. And he just points to a Rolex on the wall. And he's like, you got this in here? He's like, because, yeah, let me see, you got 10? Because I might get 10 of them. So this is like kind of to be continued little segment.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, the grizzled young veterans cut a promo in the ring
so passionate
about MSK being champions. But here they are in a six-man tag team match tonight instead of defending the titles against them. They said that they are the leaders that tag team division needs. And that's when Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher, two other grizzled veterans, interrupted. They said they're similar, but when Thatcher mocked that if you hate Gibson, take your shoes off, it ignited a big brawl. And unfortunately, the grizzled young veterans were on the wrong side of this brawl. My man James Drake lost his suit. It was ripping his suit. It's like, come on.
He got hit by a Timberland boot. He got hit in the face with a Timberland boot. Why?
It's like, come on, man. Look how sharp they are when they be coming out here to do their promos.
Honestly. And they're so passionate. Let them have their passion.
This actually is going to be a banger of a damn match when they do have this match.
I mean, it will, but like, Jesus.
Right. Timothy Thatcher, where you been for like 6 weeks, dude?
I know. It's like you still haven't explained to us. Were you kidnapped?
Right.
Clearly you were not kidnapped, so you need to tell us. Were you just on vacation? Because you haven't told us.
Right.
I need an explanation.
Just pop up out of nowhere messing with my man.
Right.
Zach Gibson and James Drake.
Right. A man was kidnapped for you. Where were you? He kidnapped a human for you.
Drake Maverick and Killian Dane are being interviewed by Mackenzie. Drake Maverick is just extremely paranoid. He's like, man, I've been watching wrestling my whole life. I knew exactly what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come out here. You're going to, you know, it's going to get hot and heavy. And right when I need you, you're not going to be there for me. Or,
yep.
You know, we're going to start the match, and as soon as I start it out, you're going to blindside me with a clothesline and join Imperium.
I mean,
Killian Dane was like, no, mate, you just got to have the faith. And Drake Maverick was stunned at the George Michael reference.
Gotta have faith. I don't have faith. See, you're finally getting some smarts. I wouldn't have faith in you either, because how many times were y'all in a match and you just walked out? Huh? So, you know, he has reason for pause. He has reason. I wouldn't trust you either.
I was actually going to
bring... Especially not with a feeling.
I was going to bring this up this week if I did not see this, if they did not kind of come back to this. But we did have a Tian Sha vignette with Boa and Xia Li.
Yes!
And I was like, you know, this is the one... program that they set up pretty well before TakeOver and WrestleMania that they haven't really followed up on. Like, where's Ali? Where's Tian Shao? Where's Little Team Sunshine? Like, you know, that was kind of getting somewhere a little bit, I thought. But they, like, cooled it off. So, I don't know. I guess there's maybe if Casey is injured, they don't feel like they want to do it right now. Because I guess the tag team match would be the eventual last step. Yeah. You know? So, maybe.
I think they're trying to get Tian Shao and then Pop maybe to, like, run with the titles or something. And just be a supernatural, like, shenanigan causing team.
I don't know. But they definitely have pulled it back. After the big, you know, run up with the you know, transformation and then the reveal and then the couple weeks of, you know, Xia Li just, you know, going out here destroying people and everything like that. So yeah, hopefully they start to ramp that back up again.
I hope so. Because it was, like, so interesting for so many weeks. I was like, what's happening? So
our man.
Bring it back.
You can tell this dude is a Lucha Underground fan because he wrote Shane Strickland. our dude, Swerve. Is cutting a promo from his recording studio. He said that he was proud of Leon Ruff because he actually didn't think Leon had it in him. He's like, so Leon Ruff wants to get sound like that? Well, he going to end Leon Ruff because they going to have a false count anywhere match if Leon is down.
Yeah. He did that freaking LA Knight thing where he just started speaking in third person for no reason. I was like, why are you speaking in third person? What's happening? This is a good promo. I'm excited for this match. It's going to be great.
Yeah, they've done a good job in building this. Keeping it, like, you know, relevant, but not having it be on not having it be a every week hitting you over the head thing. So yeah. I really like the way that they've done this. Tony Storm. Oh my gosh.
Oh, Tony.
I don't know what was about this week. Maybe it's because I haven't seen her in a couple of weeks, or maybe she has a new pair of ring shorts, but she was looking extra cheekier than normal this week. Against Zeta Ramir. Yeah, I think she changed shorts on me. Zeta Ramir. So we have a new, you know, person of interest here in Zeta Ramir. Yeah. New up-and-coming African-American young lady in NXT. So she automatically gets her full support.
Yep.
Even against Toni Storm, which I was like, oh, this will be a good match to get Toni Storm back on track. You know, Toni been having some difficulties here against the lesser knowns. So Toni gets a short pre-match promo saying that Zoe Stark got lucky and would just be a footnote in her career. That win by Zoe Stark would just be a small footnote in the rest of Toni Storm's legendary career. So Toni, of course, just comes out and she is punishing Zeta Ramir from pillar to post, you know, just doing what Toni Storm needs to do. But then she decided to get cute and toy with Zeta. And that's when Zoe Stark came out and distracted Toni Storm. And that allowed Zeta to hit a shooting star press and get the upset victory over Toni Storm. Yeah, she almost did the Brock Lesnar where she didn't get all the way over.
That's when I added her to the list. I was like, girl. And then they had the nerve to replay it like I didn't have a heart attack the first time. I was like, no! You just got here. Damn it. Scared me.
Yeah, it
was. I still don't know why is Toni a heel? Why is she a heel?
I don't have anything for you there. I still don't.
Exactly.
But I'm glad to see that she's in the opening of the show. So that means that she's going to be here for a while.
Yes. Oh, good. That's great. Yes, I've seen that.
Yes.
But like, there was just this one line in her promo that didn't make sense. Where she was just, she said that she made Zoe Stark relevant. I was like, no. Why did you add that? Because that's not true.
Well, nobody knew who she was. I didn't know who she was until she beat Toni Storm. I didn't know to take her seriously. I was like, oh, Zoe Stark, new up-and-comer. Okay, we'll see how far she goes. And then she'd be Toni Storm. I'm like, what?
Gotta start, I feel like a little bit before that.
Gotta start we watching like, her oh, she's a little something. Bit more. Mm-hmm. as I call them, if I told Moted underscore recess on the Rawcast, Legado del Fantasma, a.k.a. the Mexican Hurt Business, they cut a promo where they said they'll be holding all of the NXT titles soon, the Cruiserweight title and the Tag Team titles as well. Just for the suits, because they be dressing and they be cutting those promos. And I was like, oh, you know.
Suit game on point. See, Kenny Omega, call Escobar and be like, bruh, where do you get your suit game? Because those suits, on every single one of them, they fit. They're colorful. See, now this is drip, okay? I need white people, and especially these people on the internet, stop saying that everything that's maybe slightly colorful or like just what colorful. Or has like a little bit of design on it is drip. It's not at all. See, I'm fine with Seth Rollins doing it, number one, because he's doing it to troll, and number two, he actually has good suits. He actually has good, colorful, cohesive is the optimal word, Young Bucks. Cohesive outfits that match, that are great. Okay? So I'm fine with him doing the drip. Everybody else, because the freaking WWE on Fox, whatever, Twitter thing, had the nerve to show some picture with John Cena from like 2005 or whatever shit at like the Hall of Fame. It was like, who has the biggest drip? I was like, I've had enough. No. Okay, I'm sorry for the stand here, but I cannot. It will not stand. I won't let this stand. No. Not everything is drip. Some things are just bad. And gaudy.
LA Knight, he was interviewed. He said that last week he saw a twinkle in Indy's eye, which means that there was a tingle in her loins when she saw him. And he was like, you know, drop that zero and Dexter Lumis, come on over here to this hero in LA Knight. Step on up, baby.
Woo! I was like, oh, wow. Indy, you got people fighting for your heart?
Everise immediately came up afterwards to Mackenzie to ask to see if she had some questions about their new show that they do on like Peacock. And she was like, no, I don't. And just walked away.
She's so funny.
Oh. I liked her hair this week, too.
Yeah.
The updo.
Mm-hmm. It's that profile. She looks great with the updo.
Yeah, Mackenzie Mitchell. They need to go ahead and upgrade her to Raw.
No. I mean, stay here.
I mean, there is an opening.
I watch Raw.
Since Charlie is gone, there is an opening. I think she.
Oh, the other blonde girl still ain't working out?
No. She's still. She's not great. Yeah, she's not that good. She's not as good as Mackenzie.
Well.
Austin Theory versus Bronson Reed. Dexter Lumis strolled out and slowly walked towards Indy, who moved away from him out of anger. Indy got in the ring and Dexter Lumis got on the apron. He moved Indy out of harm's way when Austin Theory got, shot into the ropes, and he took the bump for Indy Hartwell. That allowed Bronson Reed to hit Austin Theory with the clothesline and then the tsunami to get the win and earn another chance at the North American title against Johnny Gargano.
Woo!
Okay,
you better get that title back.
So the whole like undertone of this match is Indy Hartwell being crushed. That her crush has other intentions.
I'm like, oh, her sad little face.
She didn't do anything. She wasn't interested in the match.
Nothing. She was pissed.
She didn't do the no look high five bridge.
Nothing. She did nothing. And then when like she got in the ring and Lumis, and she was just like, no, you talk too much. And, see, that's funny. She was just like, shut up. You talk too much. I was like, oh my God. Oh, my poor little baby. Oh, Johnny, you broke your daughter's heart. Why would you do this to her? Then when the really funny part, when Dexter first came down, how Johnny like pulled Candace like kind of to protect himself and also to keep her away from Dexter.
Right.
Candace looked like she was going to jump on him. He was like, no. That was crazy. Because every time she sees him, she's ready to fight. It's so good. That would make me laugh. It's hilarious.
I have some breaking news for you.
Oh,
about SmackDown that we're trying to get to.
What is it?
I know you love these, so mm-hmm. It's going to be Bianca Belair and the Street Profits going up against Bayley and the Dirty Dogs.
Rude and Ziggler. They're not exciting, but intergenderness. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So SmackDown is shaping up to be good, real good.
Ooh, yes. Right. MSK, well, that's going to be fun.
Yes, very fun. MSK and Kushida, they're interviewed. MSK put Kushida over for helping them transition into NXT, and Kushida coined themselves MS Kushida.
Ooh, aw, that's cute. That's really adorable. Oh,
so backstage, I like it. The Way has officially blamed Ember and Shotzi for the loss, saying that they tried to steal Indy's man.
Sure they did.
So Indy is like all just, you know, full of emotion, and she storms off, apparently looking for Ember and Shotzi. Drake Maverick and Killian Dane versus Imperium.
I mean, Maverick's got to find that fiery spitfire inside that helped him get his job back in NXT last year and not worry about being liked by everyone around him.
Well, hold the phone a second. A bad question is, what does Killian Dane need to do? And the answer is ditch Drake Maverick, rediscover the Beast of Belfast, and who knows, maybe even one day jump into bed with Imperium.
Oh, what a hurricane run by Maverick. Maverick now, quickly. To the top rope, Bartel Rock. Bartel getting back to his feet and able to hoist on it and rip Drake Maverick off the top.
Yeah, let me tell you, it is tough to take on Imperium at the best of times. That's the reason why they are former NXT tag champs. Even more difficult when you don't trust your own partner.
Well, this certainly now is Killian Dane off the distraction. Eichner making Maverick pay. Bartel with good measure. Killian Dane trying to get his hands on Imperium. Imperium, Dane and Maverick, this tag team match continues. Oh, Maverick! The argument boiling between Imperium. Maverick saw an opening.
Maverick wasting no time. He is still in this. And Dane checking on him.
And he is legal still.
But Alexander Wolf wouldn't hit Killian Dane. What was all that about?
Sir, wouldn't have been now. Dane right on top of Eichner, and look at Drake Maverick go. Dane back to the outside. Things breaking down.
Maverick's pants about to fall down in that.
Wolf standing between. For a moment, I was saying the steel steps. Bartel saw his own opening, and now Eichner turning things around center of the ring again. Able to now adjust on the fly is Drake Maverick.
Can Drake Maverick be the hero for his team?
High cross body, Eichner rolls through. Look at the strength of Eichner. Look at the athleticism of Bartel. That Eurobomb into the cover. Imperium again pulls off the win.
Off the back of that matchup. Some very strange alliances going on in there.
Communication issues.
Well, there's no communication issues now between Imperium. It was Wolf who stood between Marcel Bartel, those steel steps, that momentary hesitation opened the door for Imperium.
Thank you.
enjoy Imperium, so yay!
As we've been speculating about what could happen on SmackDown, which could lead to maybe a ripple effect down here in NXT, here's Pete Dunne talking again. Yeah. Saying that he has the whole locker room shook. He says he could take that cruiserweight title from Kushida whenever he wants because he already beat him, made him tap out. He said he could go to the UK if he wanted and get his belt back from Walter. He says, and then if you... he says, if you went after Johnny Gargano and that North American title, they both know the way it would go. He says if he wanted Karrion Kross, he doesn't need smoke and mirrors. He's the baddest man in NXT, and he dares everyone to try to prove him wrong.
Whoop. I like spicy talking pizza. Here for it. Here for it. the shit talking.
We head back to the jewelry store. Cameron Grimes is looking at watches. He's like, man, this is a kind of nice watch, but is the thing even working? He's like, he ain't even going TikTok. He's like, Karrion Kross would hate this.
He was looking through that little magnifying glass. It was so funny.
He's like, ooh, that's a good one. That's real nice. That's real nice. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get this one. So he buys the watch. And then you hear this voice that's like, hey, kid, that's a nice watch, but it's not a $1 million one. And so basically... it's Cameron Grimes, the watch that he has, but the difference is the bezel of this other watch is totally iced out in diamonds. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the person starts laughing, and it's none other than the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase.
Yes.
Ted DiBiase!
I love it so much. Oh, it makes me so happy. Oh. This was so funny. I love this.
Yeah, they've been teasing
it for Ted DiBiase did.
And yes. Now they finally paid it off. And this is probably only going to be like the first installment of this. So,
yes, I can't wait. I want their like $1 million show off thing. I want it. It's so fun. I want Cameron Grimes to challenge Ted DiBiase to a fight, and then Ted DiBiase pays somebody to go beat up Cameron Grimes. Whoever he's gonna just like pay them to be like, yeah, go do this. And then he's gonna be like, Ted DiBiase after he loses. Oh, I want it so badly. Oh, this is great.
We get set for the Robert Stone brand, meaning Aaliyah and Jessica Maia. They're about to have a non-title match against the women's tag team champions. And yes, Robert Stone still has two gloves on. The champs come out when someone in the crowd offers them more flowers and chocolates. And that's when the way Candace and Indy jump them. They beat them down at the ringside area. They break the flower vase over Shotzi's back. Candace shoved of all the cupcakes, red velvet cupcakes. Right. Into Ember Moon's face until the officials finally broke it up. And no, not the red velvet from AEW, who hails from your mama's kitchen. I love that. From your mama's kitchen, red velvet.
I love her.
I was about to say about this. This was really good. This is a really strong beat down Ember. Oh, I know what I wanted to say about this. Robert Stone acting a pure fool, talking about, we won the titles. Give us the best.
Yes. I was going to mention that. And then Aaliyah just like waving it like they actually won. I'm like, you didn't fight anybody. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's so funny. This is great. I like this. This is so fun.
Yeah. Adam, Robert Stone and Aaliyah are... something else.
They're so funny together.
Adam Cole, baby, was interviewed by his pool, apparently at his home. It looked like maybe a resort or something. He put over his NXT title reign, his War Games matches, saying that he has been through a lot, and even while he was hurt, he was better than the entire roster. He says he didn't make a mistake leaving the Undisputed Era. He said that it took Kyle 4 years to get noticed as a top star. And he says Karrion Kross is good, but he's not great. He says his initial injury was just a freak accident. Or talking about Karrion Kross, was it a freak accident or was it that he wasn't ready? Adam Cole promises to take the title when and if he wants to go after Karrion Kross. And then they show Kyle O'Reilly watching this interview on a monitor. There's a lot more to this interview than that.
Yeah.
That recap. I mean, Adam Cole was out here acting. He's talking about, man, he's on his phone. The thing starts. You see him talking on the phone, poolside, chatting. Then he takes the phone away from his ear and is like, hey, you know, we can get this thing rolling whenever you want. And old buddy's like, we waiting on you, man. He's like, oh, you waiting on me? You waiting on me? Okay. Hey, man, we got to go do this interview. Apparently, they waiting on me. So then they go through, does the whole interview. And then after the interview, he's like, hey, man, that's not no way to conduct an interview, man. That wasn't professional at all.
The best part, it was like, you're out here. You had me out here. It's so hot. I'm like, Adam, you are in all black in the middle of Florida. Of course you're hot.
With a suit jacket on.
He was like, you saw me on the phone asking when I'm going to get this interview started. What are you waiting for? What are you doing? I was like, this is great. I loved every piece of this. It's hilarious. He's going to talk his shit till the day he dies. I love this. He had his feet perched up on that table, relaxing, just waiting. Oh my God. I'm like, you're so obnoxious. Oh, I love it. He's a great heel. My goodness. Just never stop, Adam Cole. Just keep going. It's just, oh, it's great.
Apparently, now I don't know, this could just be hearsay for the for the internet, because, you know, everybody tells the truth on the internet, right? But the gentleman who did the interview is like a real sportscaster. And he said that that was impromptu. He said it wasn't scripted. So,
really?
Adam Cole just, yeah. just went.
I believe it, because he's great. Oh my God, he's so funny.
Now it's time for our main event of the evening, six-man tag team match, Legado del Fantasma versus Kushida and MSK. Kushida gets the hot tag. He fires off a lot of offense on everyone. He targets Joaquin Wild's arm. His great run was stopped, though, when Santos Escobar powerbombed him through the announce table. Ooh, that looked vicious. The medics came out to check on Kushida. MSK was left in trouble. They survived the separation, and Kushida made a surprising return back to the ring before being taken out by Santos Escobar and the Phantom Driver. It was like, dang, I thought your neck was messed up when he put you through the table. Oh, you got back in the ring, and then, oh, you took the Phantom Driver immediately afterward right on your neck? Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. Carter was then hit by Joaquin Wild and Mendoza. Super kick, Russian leg sweep combo, and Legado del Fantasma are victorious. And they stood over Kushida and MSK with their titles as they were all prone on the mat. So that was your lasting visual.
Ooh, this is a great match.
Yeah, it was.
Listen, I don't want it to happen right now because I love MSK as champions and I love me some Kushida as champion, but eventually you're going to have to put all the gold on them. You're going to have to do it. You know what? Put the NXT championship belt on Escobar.
I was thinking that myself. I was like, you know what would actually hit for me? Mm-hmm. At some point during this Karrion Kross run, they become babyface, and he is the one who takes the belt off of Karrion Kross.
Like, please, give me this freaking Mexican stable with all the gold, please, because they looked great with it. Yeah. And I love me some Kushida and MSK, but ooh, I was like, oh, they look so good with gold. All three of them, just look at it. Look at this picture.
Yeah, it was a really great visual. Great visual. We're gonna wrap this up because we're trying to beat the deadline for SmackDown.
Yeah,
because we got a 2 minutes SmackDown. But I just want to say that this is probably one of the most well booked shows week in and week out of wrestling is NXT. That's because they have pure wrestling people doing the show. Triple H, Hunter, Road Dogg. That's all they know is like wrestling. They're not writers.
Yep.
They're not actors. They're not, they don't, they, you know, they do things from a, let the wrestlers have a little bit more freedom. You can tell in NXT and it works out each and every week. Another banger episode. Now your thoughts, Miss Simi.
Banger episode. Love this last match. Again, Wesley, stop scaring me. Ugh. This was a great show. Really, really solid show. Enjoyed every single moment of it. Let my Dakota win more things. Start a hashtag.
Shout outs and thank yous, Miss Simi.
Well, shout out to you, Don, as always. Shout out to the listeners. Shout out to the WrestleCast family and CSPN family. Shout out to the patrons for paying a little extra just to hear us speak. And shout out to the girl group Little Mix because they've been together 10 years and they're doing their thing. They just put out a new song and it was great. Shout out to them
because
I love them.
I won't give a shout out to Twitter Spaces. Still not letting us be great, but eventually when Twitter
for
Android gets its shit together on my telephone, we will be engaging in that world for all of those who have been wondering and waiting. Shout out to Miss Simi for joining me once again here on the NXT cast. Shout out to all the patrons who listen to us talk about AEW over on the Patreon page. Please become a patron at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Also go to CSPN.us, click on the tab that says keep our podcast free, do some shopping with our sponsors, go to Amazon, buy something for your mom. Mother's Day is next week. And help your favorite podcast out at the same time. It's a win-win situation, okay? So, you know, like I said, find us, rate us, review us through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. Give us those 5 stars so people understand that our podcast is great and we can get more listens and eyes on the product. So once again, for my co-host, Miss Simi, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been the NXT Cast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
See you in the hashtag. I mean, everyone talk about new opportunities, but nobody is mentioning my name. It's because I've got that whole locker room shook. I'm the toughest matchup there is. Just look at Kushida, cruiserweight champion. He stepped to me and I put him out. That title's mine whenever I want. Or maybe I'll quick time jump on a flight, go back home, spark water and take back the title that I made famous. And then there's the North American title. Johnny, you stepped to me and we both know the way it goes. Bitter end. And as for Karrion Kross, you don't intimidate me. I don't need smoke and mirrors. Trust me, mate. When I walk in a room, the mood changes. So listen up. I'm the baddest man in NXT. Try and prove me wrong. I dare you.